is the 8th of December, 2017. It is the 20th. The 20th of Kislev. Oh, we missed Yud-Tes Kislev. It was yesterday.
We didn't miss it.
We just didn't acknowledge it appropriately. Okay. We know what Yud-Tes Kislev is, by the way? Yeah, one of the, I think the Alter Rebbe was out of, was freed from jail and Yud-Tes Kislev. It's a big, one of the big yuntas for Chabadniks. Okay, so in the beginning of Parsha Tzav, it says in the second pasuk, Tzav Saronis and Adli, where those Torahs, Allah, He Allah, Al, Mukta, Amizbeach, Kol, Halayla, Ad Boker. So it's going to be on the flame, on the altar the entire night. And the ash, the fire of the Mizbeach, is going to consume it, and then the next morning you're going to remove the ashes. It gets into the discussion of the Trumas Hadashin. Now that line of Hi Haula Al Mukta Al Mizbeach Kol Halayla, it's now sitting on the Mizbeach the entire night. There's a little mem. Yes, why is there a little mem there? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why there's a little mem. So, but what I was going to learn from here before Sam pointed out the little mem was the issue of that this is the source for davening Maariv at night. This is actually a connection to Maariv at night, and the idea that a lot of halachos actually about Maariv that are interesting emanate from this idea. So, where is the idea of davening Maariv at night from? So, in Gemara in Maseches Brachos, so it actually has machlokas about why do we have three periods of davening. So Itmar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yechanina Amar, there's Chafav Amar Beis, Tfilos Avos Tiknum, that the Tfilos were established by the Avos, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi Amar Tfilos Keneg Tamidim Tiknum, that no, the Tfilos were opposite the Tamidim, or they're opposite the various daily offerings. Now, we actually gave a shir a couple of years ago called All Three the contribution of all three avos to tefillah. That is actually a big YU Torah share. It's got a bunch of hits from it, and that's the first part of this gemara. That's the opinion. That's the brisa that follows Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. Then there's another brisa of Tanya Kavasi to Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Then there's a brisa that follows Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. What does he say? If they ma amru tefillas hashachar ad chatzos, why is it that we daven until noon? Sharei tamid shel shachar kariv v'holi chatzos, because the morning tamid can be offered until noon. Rabbi Yehuda says only until 4 hours. Fine. Why is mincha in the afternoon until the evening? Because the tamid of bein arba'i could be offered until the evening. Rabbi Yehuda says only until plag mincha. Maybe we'll get into that later. Shrei tamid shel bein arba'i can only work until plag mincha. And then if they ma amru tefilas erev ein la keva, why is it that we daven mariv at? I would expect it to say at night. But that's not what it says. The Gemara says, why is that we daven Maariv at a non-set time? At a time that is Ein La Keva. Why? Sharei Ivarim Ufadarim, because the limbs and fats, Shalonis Aklu Mi Be'erev, that were not consumed before evening, Kriven V'holchem Kol Alayel, can then be offered on the altar the entire night. V'fnei Amru Shal Musifim Kol Yom, why do we say Musa the entire day? And it goes on and talks about that. So that is already a very interesting thing. Add on to that, one daf later on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara makes the following line. Tfilas ha'erev ein lakeva. So my ein lakeva, what does that mean? So if you say that, it means that if you want, you can daven the entire night, but list, so just let it say that. List the tfilas ha'erev kol alayla. Like we said, ela my ein lakeva, what does it mean? Kananda amar tfilas arvis rishus. That is like the opinion that Maariv is a, what does rishus mean?
Permission
also means that it's optional. That Maariv is only optional. So that's interesting. Right? So based on the idea that we say that it doesn't have a set time, we also then go on and say another halacha that it is then that it is optional or something like that. It's unclear what that means as well. So, fine. So there is, I think, three, at least that I listed here, three halachos that I want to speak about that have to do with this, that have to do with this idea that the emurim have to, the emurim could be brought, that Maariv is based after the emurim, which are brought at a non-fixed time, which we interpret to mean the entire night. Number one is, until what time are you actually allowed to do it? Number two is, What time is the start time for it? And number three is then this idea of what does it mean that Tfilas Ma'ariv is the Rishus? Okay, so with regards to the end time, so why are you doing the end time first? I don't know, that's what came to mind first. That is because that brings you then to the first Mishnah in all of Shas. What is the first Mishnah? How does the first Mishnah begin? Me'imotai, Korin es Shema Ba'arvin. When do we say Ma'ariv? When do we read the Shema at night? So it says, for the one opinion is Mishasha Kohan Nichnasim Lechol B'Trumasan At Sof HaShmur. So when the Kohanim can come and eat their Trum, it has to be completely dark. V'Chama Omrim Atil Chatzos. And Rav Gamliel says Ad Sheyel Amud HaShachar. So you seem to have a machlok between the Chachamim and Rav Gamliel. How do we paskin between the Chachamim and Rav Gamliel when there's a machlok like that? It seems like we should paskin like the Chachamim. However, there's a little letter that indicates how we paskin by both of those things. Okay, so hold off on that. And then it happened once that the children came from the party and they said, you know, we didn't say Shema. So he said, if Amud HaShachar hasn't come up, so then you're allowed to continue to read until then. Okay, so that is Ella. Not only then, that's number one. He says, so you're allowed to read the entire night, and then Ella Koma. But there's this thing here that whatever the Chachamim said until Chatzos, the mitzvah is really until Amud HaShachar, meaning midnight in halacha is not a real time according to the Torah. From a Doraisa Torah perspective, it doesn't recognize midnight. There's no halacha about midnight. But anything that the mitzvah is for the entire night, the Rabbanon put on a restriction and said that you can only do it until midnight. So what is the biggest example of where that applies over the course of the year? Where does that come up? The one time a year, right, that we list off, what time is Chatzos at midnight? So the time we list that off is Pesach, right? Because the Korban Pesach has to be eaten until night, and therefore we assume that the Seder should be concluded, or at least the mitzvos aspect of the Seder need to be concluded by midnight. Now, Meyikar Adin can go the entire night. Meyikar Adin, you can continue eating until morning. But in order to put a gedra, in order to put a restriction on it, the Rabbanan said, you gotta go, we're going to try to end it before midnight.
Is it Amud HaShachar? Is that the same as
Nates? No. Amud HaShachar are the first beams of light. Amud HaShachar is, I think, what we translate as dawn.
Okay.
And
so it's earlier.
It's earlier, right. It is earlier. So it ends at the time. And that's generally the time that we understand to be the Doraisa time for starting. I mean, when we say that you shouldn't do something until Netzachama, that we hold off until Netzachama to do something, so Netzachama is really the Durabanan time. That really, Me'ikar HaDin, it could be from earlier times, which is this time of year, what we do every day. We pretty much daven Shacharis every day before Netzachama. I didn't check the calendar, but I think we daven pretty much every day before Netzachama. Certainly, when we start running into problems of when is it the time to put on the tiles and fill in, right? So that Netzachama is clearly not going to be starting until 20 minutes after davening is already over. So we assume Amud HaShachar. I did see a note that if somebody is sick and didn't daven the Shema the entire night, I think the Mishavur makes that point. They could daven until Netzachama. I'm not sure why that would be. I just saw that note. I didn't get into why that would be. If we assume that Amud HaShachar, dawn is really the time that it ends. Alos HaShachar. Yeah.
Is that the same as Amud HaShachar? That is my question.
Oh.
I thought you were saying.
I believe so. Alos HaShachar, the first rays, Amud is like a beam.
Okay. Right.
So maybe there's a few moments there, but I think we see what that's the same.
Dawn,
what?
That is dawn.
I thought dawn was the first sign of the sun.
Yeah.
No, that's
sunrise.
Right.
Sunrise. You're saying the first beam of light.
Which yeah.
45 minutes before
that. Alos HaShachar was at 5:43 this morning. Nate's was at 7:08.
And what time is dawn? Right. I think I may have a machlokas of English here. But we don't have to spend time on machlokas of English. Okay. Fine. So what? First of all, let's start with what is the halacha with regards to how late one could go with regards to davening. Now, if you look up in Shulchan Aruch, I didn't ever notice this before. But if you look up in Shulchan Aruch, what is the last time to daven Ma'ariv? There is actually, it doesn't talk about it at all. It doesn't mention what is the last time to daven Ma'ariv. The only thing that it talks about is what is the last time to say Shema. That one could say Shema, the nighttime Shema. So that is talked about here. In Reish Lamed Hei, Sif Gimel L'Chadchila Tzarech Likros Kriya Shema Miyad B'Tzeisak Ulchavim. Okay, that's just Zrizim Akdim and Lemitzos. And then Uzmana, its time is until Chatzia Laila, until midnight. Vim Avar, Vi Echar, Bekara Atshelo Alamuda Shachar Yatsa Yechovasa. And assuming that you have not, and if you didn't do it, if that time passed, so you can continue read it until the morning. Yatzi Yidei Chovasa. You have fulfilled your obligation. You have already been Yotze. So that is interesting. So what is that idea that you should do until then, but if you haven't, you can do it later. So the Rabbanan, so the Mishnah Berurah explains that the Rabbanan put on this gezeira, put on this rule, that really you should do it the first half of the night so that you don't forget and fall asleep and wake up in the morning and realize that you didn't do it, so that you're not going to have a problem. However, he adds in an interesting thing here. If you did it later, mikre, you are called an over al divrei chachamim. You are called a person who has violated the words of the chachamim. Okay, but don't worry, there is no isser involved. Is there actually an isser? Could there be a prohibition involved? So he continues on and says, you have not violated prohibition so long as you didn't do anything that you're not supposed to do. What are you not supposed to do? This is actually a very important halacha, which I think is neglected. You're not really supposed to eat or drink or be involved with anything once the time of the mitzvah has arrived. Now, what happens if you daven ma'arav at a 10 o'clock minyan? Okay, so you daven ma'arav at a 10 o'clock minyan. There are other exceptions to the... So there you have a set time. I'm going to the 10 o'clock ma'arav minyan, so I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about these in because I have a set time, and I assume you have a reminder or that's your routine. So there are heterim, for that. If you're in the middle of doing something, also there might be a heterim for that.
Mincha
is the same halacha, correct?
The whole time, correct.
Mincha is the same halacha. The same halacha applies to mincha. You're not really allowed to eat lunch once the zman of mincha has arrived, unless you have an organized minyan to go to. If you have a specific minyan that you're going to be going to, so then that's permitted. It's the same. These questions always come up with Hanukkah. Everybody wants to know, I'm going to be late for Hanukkah. Am I allowed to eat or drink before Hanukkah? Well, yeah, and there's what to discuss there. There's a question, but the same halacha that applies to Hanukkah applies to Marv every day. So our heter is that, well, I daven with the minyan. I daven mincha with the minyan, I daven Marv with the minyan. So therefore, but if you don't have that heter, so for example, Wednesday, Tuesday nights, so I'm home. I have my kids at home. I'm not able to make it to minyan. So if I know I'm not going to be davening mincha with the minyan, I'm not allowed to eat lunch before davening mincha. If I know I'm not going to be making to Marv with the minyan, I'm not allowed to eat dinner or be able to be involved in other activities until I daven Marv.
So if you're at home and you know you're not going to meet,
yeah.
So you can't do anything until
you really shouldn't, right? Wow. You really shouldn't. Yeah, that is the halacha.
You can't eat before you daven. What meal is it?
What do you mean?
You can't eat dinner. Is what you're,
yeah. Right.
Why is?
Then you're going to forget.
Because you're going to forget. So that's the halacha.
Fall asleep. Right? And you miss Kriyat Shema.
All right. So that is it. So the Mishnah Berurah makes the point here. Well, Mishnah Berurah never explicitly says, but the other poskim, the Sefer Yishei Halacha, he says that yeah, the halacha for Kriya Shema is going to be the same halacha for Tefillah. We're going to line the two up, even though there might be poskim that might disagree. But that's the majority of authorities agree that synonymous with the mitzvah of saying Shema is the mitzvah of saying. Is the mitzvah of davening of saying tefillah as well? Fine. So how late can you go? So right, we just quoted the Mishnah Berurah saying ideally you should be earlier, etc. Now there is an interesting line. Because the Mishnah in Brachos then continues on and talks about these sons of Rabbi Gamliel that are out late at the party. And then the Mishnah goes on and says, not only that, but El Kol Mash Amru Chachamim Ad Chatzos, whenever they said until midnight, Mitzvasan Ad Sheyal Amud HaShachar. The mitzvah is really until the morning. So for example, it gives Hector Chalavim Veivar Mitzvasan Ad Sheyal Amud HaShachar. Burning the fats and the limbs are mitzvah that we got into this for. The mitzvah really goes until the morning. B'chon Ne'achal Yom Echad, anything that can be eaten for one day, mitzvah is really until the morning. So im kein, meaning the korbanos that you have to eat that night until the next morning. So why did the Chacham say until midnight? Chilaharchik adam min avera, in order to distance people from an avera. And that's a very interesting concept to put in the very first Mishnah in Shas, that we have this concept that we might impose gezeros in order to force people to daven earlier. So we see this idea when it comes to Shema, right? That's what Kodesh Shulchan Aruch, lechadchila, you're supposed to daven before midnight. Even with Pesach, lechadchila, you have to finish the Seder before midnight. What about Haktaras Ema, the example that the Mishnah brings of Haktaras of Chalavim ve'evarim, of bringing these things onto the Mizbeach. Does that have to be done before midnight? Now, there is a rule on the other side. There's a concept in halacha called Ein Shfus B'Mikdash, that there are no derabbanans that are imposed in the Mikdash, and the question why that should be. So shouldn't this fall under that rubric? So that actually seems like a machlokas we shown. The Rambam says, until midnight, that's it. Rambam in Hilchos Maiseh HaKarbanos, Perek Dal Mishnah Beis, says the mitzvah of Haktara, of bringing the stuff on, is at the nighttime or after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim is brought. You can do it until midnight. After that, you can't do it anymore. That's what the Rambam says. Rashi on the Mishnah here, an interesting thing, Rashi on the Mishnah here doesn't quote the Rambam, but he does. Rambam wasn't alive yet, but he does go explicitly say, which is an interesting move for Rashi to do, that might apply to other things, but not to the Haktar Eivarim Veivarim, Eivarim Chalavim Veivarim. Not doesn't apply to this. That you could do the entire night. That halacha is something that is permissible all night. Why Hacha Lo Amru Bocham Arachat? So it's Klavul Anokad Lu Hacha Elohdia Shekol Davar Noeg B'Layla Hashakol Layla. Its only purpose here is to say that really it's permissible the entire night, but the idea that there's a gezeira, that there is something that was imposed upon it to have it done earlier, that doesn't apply to this. So that's a machlokas. That's a machlokas Yishonim. How to resolve that if at 3 in the morning you realize there's this carcass laying around and you like it to be put on the mizbeach, right? How the Rabbanan Pasuk and the machlokas Rambam Rashi, that I don't know. But there is two interesting points on that. Number one is the sheet. One interesting point in the sheet of Rashi and one interesting point in the sheet of the Rambam. Interesting point in the sheet of Rashi, the Torah Tamima points out that that why would Rashi be so sure? What makes Rashi so sure? Why is Rashi disagreeing with the Rambam? So it could be that Rashi is basing himself on a concept that is developed by the Taz. The Taz in two places, one in Yerodea Simen Kuf Yud Zayin, so, and the other one is in Hilchos Shofar. So in Yerodea Simen Kuf Yud Zayin, the discussion there is about dealing with non-kosher animals, dealing with non-kosher food. That one is not permitted to be in business buying and selling fully non-kosher food, which is a major issue for a Jew who wants to own a regular grocery store, right? That is a major issue that has to be overcome. When I was in Phoenix, so I had a guy who came to me and said, I want to open a non-kosher grocery store that will sell kosher and non-kosher products. Rabbi, figure out how it's permissible for me to do, right? Which might not be the appropriate way of asking a shayla, but that's the way that it was asked. So I got into it. That was, I developed a shtar, a kind of a heter, what do you call it, heter shutfus, where he had a partner, and you through this partnership, we work out that it could be open on Shabbos, it could be open on Pesach, right? That you split up the ownership in a halakhically acceptable way. There are rabbanim who say that it shouldn't be done. It's just not a good thing to get into, but it does get done, and that's what we came up for this person. Yeah,
in a slaughterhouse, you determine it.
Right, so that's b'di'evit. So the Mishnah, I believe it's based on a Mishnah in Shvius where it talks about you capture kosher and non-kosher fish. So b'di'evit, once they're in your possession, you're allowed to go in and sell them. But to go and purchase them for the purpose of reselling at a profit, so that's what they're talking about not being permissible. So the Gemara actually there, when discussing this idea, actually quotes a pasuk to say that it's not something that should be done. So that leads to the whole question of, oh, so is this a din d'oraisa, or is it a din d'rabbanan? So Tosfos there points out that there is actually a, when it talks about nevela, so the pasuk actually explicitly says, if you have nevela, it says, lenach, I forget the term, it says, one is lekelav tashlichuna, so you throw it to the dog, or you sell it to the non-Jew, right? One of those two are always permissible to do. So wait a second, I think you're not allowed to sell to the non-Jew. So that, so maybe that, that means that we're operating on a level of d'oraisa, the fact that that pasuk is quoted. On the other hand, the Taz says, not necessarily. You can even assume it's a din d'rabbanan, but yet that pasuk is going to lay example. Meaning, if it's a din d'rabbanan, what do we care if there's a pasuk that says it's okay? It's a din d'rabbanan by definition. So the Taz develops an idea that anything that's explicit in the Torah as being allowed, the rabbanan can't come along and prohibit. Right, that's just the rule. If the Torah talks about something explicitly being okay, we can't say it's not okay. That's example one where the Taz quotes this concept. The other example where the Taz quotes this concept, and it's in Hilchos Shofar, where the Taz raises the question, you know, it's very interesting that the Rabbanan only prohibited blowing shofar on Shabbos. They should prohibit blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because blowing shofar seems to be a violation of playing musical instruments. We don't do things that make noise on Shabbos or Yontif, and therefore that gezeirah should then be superimposed over Rosh Hashanah, saying that we shouldn't blow shofar because it's a violation of Meshmiya Kol. So comes the Taz and says, no. If it's explicit in the Torah as something you're supposed to do, the Rabbanan can't come along and say that it's prohibited. So perhaps that's what drove. So the Torah Tamima suggests that that's what drives Rashi to be so sure that this gezeira doesn't apply. The gezeira of doing it until midnight doesn't apply to the bringing of the fats and limbs, because the Torah explicitly talks about burning the fats and limbs for the entire night. That's an interesting idea with regards to Rashi. The interesting idea with regards to the Rambam is that the Avi Ezri? Anybody know who wrote the Avi Ezri? Avi Ezri, no? Avi Ezri written by Rav Shach, Rav Elazar Shach. Yeah, everybody knows, thinks that he was this big politician and etc. He wrote a pretty thick works on the Rambam. There's questions. He kind of writes in the introductions that he doesn't really want it to be printed. He doesn't want it to be spread. I just wrote this because people wanted me to. He actually, when the original editions came out, they came out in like a very random order. You could never find anything in there. He said, I don't want people bothering my Hiddushin Torah. So then, I think after he passed away, someone put it all together actually in the order of the Rambam, and now you're able to find things a lot easier. So Rav Shach points out that there seems to be a steer in Rambams, in that why is it when Hilchos Kriya Shema, the Rambam says that ideally it should be done before midnight, but if you want to, you could do it the rest of the night, meaning if you didn't do it before, then you could do it the rest of the night. But by this, by the Evarim, and by the chalavim and the Evarim, by the fats and the limbs, if you didn't do it by midnight, the mitzvah's over. I believe the same thing by Korban Pesach. You didn't do it by midnight, so we're not going to let you do it the rest of the night. So why should that be? Why should we have that distinction?
How can you do that based on the argument you just said from Rashi that it's Deoraisa?
But it's Deoraisa, and we're going to limit as to when. How did the Rabbanan have the right to do that?
Yeah.
Because they're not getting rid of the mitzvah. I mean, when it comes to shofar, that example, we'd be getting rid of shofar. Right, that would mean the end of blowing shofar Rosh Hashanah. Right? We would talk about in the olden days they used to take a ram's horn, right? So that wouldn't be applicable. But here, they're not getting rid of the mitzvah. They're just saying the mitzvah has to be done in this time period,
as opposed to what it says in the Torah.
You mean you're just asking on the Rambam? How could the Rambam say that it's only okay for half the night when the Torah says it can be done the entire night?
Right.
So either the Rambam doesn't agree with that concept of the Taz. That's one. I mean, the Taz develops that idea. Maybe the Rambam doesn't hold of it. Or you could say that even if it's written in the Torah, as long as you're not getting rid of the entire mitzvah, you're still allowed to establish gezeiros on it. You could make that up as well. So Rav Shach says, well, the gezeiros were just made in a different way. That by Kriya Shema, this is his language, Tzarech Lomar Shehayinu Taima, Derak B'Kriya Shema Shema Shenasu Cham Zman L'Kriya Shema Mishim Siag. Ein Zem Ischayev She'achar Zman Ein Likros Kriya Shema El Av Shelechav Chila Zman Kriya Shema Ar Chatzos. I mean, they just established it as being L'chav Chila. V'kol Malkum B'Diyavad, you can read it afterwards. Im Lo Kishish Takana Miyuchedah She'ein Likros Achar Zman. Provided that there is no specific Takana not to do it later. But there was no Gezerah that was made. So therefore, the Gezerah was just made, L'chav Chila do it until now. If there is a zman that is given, memela nosar hu achar zman. It becomes nosar afterwards. I mean, there is no prohibition in saying Shema afterwards. So the Rabbanan said, the gezeira is do it now and not later. With the korbanos, with these kinds of things, after the permissible time to eat it, what do we call it? We call that nosar. We call that things that are prohibited. There's now all of a sudden a prohibition in saying in eating it. So therefore, when the clock strikes midnight, the party's over when it comes to the meat. But when the clock strikes midnight with regards to Shema, it just means the party is just getting started. I don't know. It means that then you're permitted to go ahead and do this. He goes and brings a question, raises an answer. At the end, he says, "V'dok heitev ki baruch Hashem hu nachon ma'od." I'm right. Take that. That's his understanding of the distinction between those gezeiros. Okay, so that is with regards to the end time. So in the last 5 minutes, They'll speak about the early time. So the Aruch HaShulchan and Simon Reish Lamed Hey, so he talks about the earlier time from Marv. And the thing is, where does this concept come from of early Marv? We don't have an early Mincha, early Shacharis, not really. What is this concept that we have of an early Marv? So the and there's a machlokas on it. So we don't have time now to get into the issue of dealing with the machlokas and what happens if the idea of a tarki desasri, contradictory times. I have to say that for another time. But very simply, the Aruch HaShulchan says the period of time that Marv is established opposite the haktara sevarim, right? V'yadua shaktara hatchila mi ba'od yom achari haktara sevarim el. When did they start bringing the Haktaras Emurim? See, he suggests that they were brought already from Plag HaMincha onwards. Meaning the afternoon Korban was brought before Plag HaMincha, which is an hour and 15 minutes in Jewish hours, before what? Before sunset. And that's when the Evarim were brought. So even though it's kosher to bring the entire time, the real beginning time of it is after the... It doesn't start at a time. It starts when the korban was finished to be brought. That's when it happened. So the period of Maariv is based on when Mincha is over. So therefore, the Zman perhaps could be earlier, already during the daytime. One could even add on to this, this is perhaps a heter, to say that you can do the Tarti Nisasar even. That's not based on a time of Mincha ending, it's based on Mincha ending. So therefore you can have Mincha anytime. So that's those shuls that have a Mincha Minyan at 7 o'clock every week during the summer. So that's what they're perhaps basing themselves on this. That Mincha is over, and now we're going to have Marv right away. Even though there's no shift in terms of the Zmani Hayom, Marv is not based on the Zmani Hayom. So many disagree with that. Mishnah doesn't advise it, etc. But those shuls, I believe even this one, that have that custom, which is, for many decades in America, that's what shuls have been doing. So it's based on this concept. The Aruch HaShulchan continues on and makes a very interesting point. Remember, the Gemara had two possibilities as to how these tefillos were established, either based on the avos or based on the korbanos, right? Who is Marav based on? Yaakov, right? When did Yaakov daven? What pasuk of Yaakov? It's talking about Yaakov running away from Esav, and when he lands on in the capital of Israel. On Har Abayis, and he had his dream. When did that dream happen?
The rocks.
Marv. That's Marv, correct? What time of day? If you look at the psukim, it's clear. It happened during the day. It said it made it dark, but it happened during the day. It was actually daytime. There's this whole medrash about the hours had to be saved till later, and that's what happened when Hashem held it in Sefer Yehoshua. It's because we owed the day hours or something. Right. That's what it's pretty clear from the psukim that that's what's going on. So says the Aruch HaShulchan. Aha. So when did Yaakov daven Marav? That example of Marav that the Gemara is given, it happened during the day. Excellent. And then finally, that also explains the idea of Tefillas Marav Rishus. Most Rishonim assume it doesn't mean it's optional to daven Marav. It means that Marav has a flex period of time. And that's also based on this concept that we've just been explaining. Mincha does not. Mincha has...
It has 5 hours.
Yeah.
And Avit has 8 hours. Until the Shabbat.
No, but his point is that Marav can, in theory, you could daven Marav early. Maybe it's following Mincha. Maybe you could daven ready from Plag HaMincha, etc. Yeah, okay. But even that is to be Yotzei other. But as we pointed out before, we're all Hilchos Marav and Hilchos Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, while on one hand the halachos are put together, might have different rules and regulations. They're not the same mitzvah; they're different things. So perhaps that's the idea. Many Rishonim understand that Tefillas Marav is a Rishus. It has nothing to do with whether it's optional or not optional. It has to do with whether it has a specific set time, or whether it's based on other things that are going on, such as the korban of Bein Arbayim or the period when one daven mincha. Okay, this will stop here. Have a good Shabbos.